Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, June the 8th, 2014.
I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we begin tonight singing and opening our service with Sing the Wondrous Love of Jesus, Sing His Mercy and His Grace when we all get to heaven.
Sing with me. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed,
thank the Lord for the opportunity to give. So I encourage you to give as God's given to you. Think about these special needs that we've been talking about. So Jim, would you pray for the offering, please?
Heavenly Father, we come
before. Thank you.
was up next. Turns out it's me. Well, tonight we have the opportunity to give a little bit of report about the Angola ministry trip that took place back on May 15th through the 18th. As we've done for the last four, five, 6 years, we've taken a group from Grace. We've had the opportunity to work alongside Awana, who has an ongoing ministry in the Angola prison down in Louisiana. And they work throughout the year with a group they call Malachi Dads. And this is a program that helps these men learn how to have influence on their kids, even from within the walls of the prison. And they encourage them to be the right kind of fathers that they can. They recognize, obviously, that they've made mistakes in their lives, and they're trying to change the cycle of imprisonment that seems to be so prevalent with families of men who are incarcerated. Their children are at a much higher rate of being incarcerated themselves, and that cycle continues. And they strive to help work through that. And so that's a program called Malachi Dads. And we have the opportunity to go down there and be in the prison in a chapel on a Friday night to see these men graduate through this year-long program. And it's a very emotional, amazing service as these guys give testimony. Usually one of the men preaches a sermon. They sing, and we heard one of those songs this morning as our group performed that, as well as they recite this Malachi Dad's Pledge. And it's just an incredible scene. And that's one part of what we do. We get to witness that. We get to see what goes on in that. The second day, though, is an opportunity for men, not only the Malachi Dads, but other men who are imprisoned, through their behavioral, what they're able to accomplish behaviorally within the prison, they can have the opportunity for their kids to come in for what they call a Returning Hearts Celebration. And it's a unique experience because these kids come into the prison. These dads get to spend these few hours with their kids in a somewhat normal setting, play games, hold hands, eat cotton candy, have a meal together. And these dads are encouraged, hey, this is an opportunity for you to have input into your kids' lives in a very unique situation. Warden Kane has worked with Awana to make this happen, and it's been very successful over the years. There were over 1,000 kids registered to come be with their dads this year, and I think almost 900 and so actually were able to show up. The only way that this can happen year after year is through volunteers. Every prisoner has a volunteer assigned to them, and they walk with those kids, and they go everywhere they do. Some of the dads will really bring the volunteer in and make them part of the conversation. Others of them want to just spend that time with their kids, and it all just depends on the dads. But us volunteers are what enable that to happen. And there's a gospel presentation. A number of dads were there sharing the gospel with their kids this year, and a number of them came to Christ. And it was just a very unique situation. I've got a brief video from not this year's, but from last year's Returning Hearts. We're going to see that. And then a number of the people that went this year are going to share a little bit of their story and what they were able to experience as they were able to take part. We had, I think, 8 or 9 new people this year that had never been before, and so we're very encouraged by that. And a number of people, this was their 3rd, 4th, and 5th time to go. And so it's a very a neat ministry that Grace has been able to partner with Awana in, and really hundreds of other churches across the U.S. But if we've got that video ready, Jonathan, we can show that first, and then we're going to have a few folks come up and share a little bit of a testimony, a short one, I believe, Tanya, that about what God did with them in their lives and through them as they were able to share this ministry this year. Thanks.
Good morning. You're tuned in to KLSP 91.7, your incarceration station, the only one in the nation, the station that kicks behind the bricks. I'm your host, Big Shaq, and we want to say a special thanks to all those who have come out to help with the Returning Heart Celebration. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Yes, I'm a sports director at my church. Angola used to be considered the bloodiest prison in America. I remember being little thinking Angola's a scary place to come and to go.
What's your name? Shemaya. I'm here to see my daddy. Butterfly.
See my daddy.
I'm your daddy.
Bottled up on the inside.
You're bottled up on the inside? Y'all gonna come out today?
Yes, sir.
My name is Reginald Watts. I'm serving a life sentence in Louisiana State Penitentiary, first-degree robbery. I'm very excited about Returning Hearts. I'm always excited about Returning Hearts. This is my fifth Returning Hearts. But this year is more exciting. This year is more, it's more fulfilling because my daughter's at an age now where she is going, I believe she's going to ask me, can she start dating? This is the day that I'll be doing a lot of praying for this decision.
Bounce. Did you know there's a carousel? It goes around in circles?
That's what I'm going to do next.
I mean, this is amazing. I mean, the world needs to see this. They do. Like, we're so excited to be here. And I mean, who would have thought? I visited other prisons, and there's nothing like this. I mean, and to see the dads and the kids, you know, hug each other. I mean, it's just amazing.
I want to connect with Caitlin, be able to talk to her, spend time just me and her, you know, because she was 9 months old when I came to prison, so it's hard to connect in a prison setting and visit, you know. Here, it's me and her, so it's our first time really just me and her, you know, so I'm looking forward to it.
Caitlin,
that's it.
Day is beautiful. You know, you get to do what you want to do. It's a lot of things you don't know about your kids until you get them out here and you see them created in all kinds of things. So this is why this day is so important to me. I can't speak for no one else, but I love when this day here comes. I'm just having fun. Whatever they want to do, we gonna do. They won't go on that slide. You gotta be going on that slide. You gotta this day. So it's all good with me, whatever they want to do.
This is their day.
This is their day.
This is a great day of the gospel being presented between a father, an inmate father, to a child, their children. And it's a beautiful thing to see reconciliation and about forgiveness and about restoration of families here at Angola State Prison. Many volunteers come from all over the country to be here and help us reconcile kids and dads together in families. But the beautiful thing is, as a volunteer gives time and energy and finances to this, they get ministered to. And the men and the children minister reconciliation and hope, and great change happens for the volunteer along with the inmate dad and the child.
We ate hamburgers and hot dogs. We played the games. And she was victorious today. I got hit with wet sponges, so you name it. But mainly we had just a father-daughter day, which doesn't come too often in prison. Matter of fact, it doesn't come until this Returning Hearts celebration. So we had us a good time today. Well, today, she asked me, could she start dating? And for a dad, that's a hard decision. But we came to a common ground, and we decided that she has my permission and my blessings to start dating. Dating only. Dating only. I know she's going to make sound decisions because it's rooted in God. I thank God for my child, my only child.
Example, leaving a legacy. And so the children see that. And I can tell, you know, there's just this great love that I see that's among them. And this is my first time here. And it's been an amazing, amazing event already.
In 2004, I'll never forget Miss Scotty Barnes standing on that stage and saying, is there anybody who would like to come to Christ? And it just was that moment. I knew it right then. I looked at them. I looked at Kakili. I said, are you saved? She said, Daddy, I don't know. I looked at Mariana. I said, sweetie, are you saved? She said, no, Daddy. I looked at Kianshi and I asked her, and she said, no. I said, would you like to get saved? They all three looked at me with tears in the eyes and said, yes, Daddy. So on that day, that is the day he had offered himself up yet again for my children.
The day today was just awesome. I mean, dads were able to reconnect with their children, some as little as 5, some as old as 17. I was a volunteer relief person, but I ended up taking a family because there were so many kids that came in. And so that was my highlight because I wasn't expecting to follow a family around. But he told me he's been locked up for 25 years and they don't come visit. They didn't participate in the program last year and they actually didn't come until about 12 o'clock today. So they didn't have a lot of time, but I mean, even in the short 3 hours, they changed. Their moods changed from being kind of shy to giving big old hugs and things like that. So I mean, it was awesome. So I plan on coming again next year when they have it, just because I want to participate again. And I think it's awesome that it's spreading to other prisons.
Next March, Lord willing, I'm going to be standing right here and saying, who would like to go to Angola with us? We've had very generous donations from people in the church that help bring those costs down, but there is a small investment of money. There's an investment of your time. But what you will get from that experience is so much more than you can imagine. And it's what you're going to hear in just a couple minutes are from some of the people that went this year, and they'll tell about their experience. But I want you to consider next year joining us and being part of that. It's really neat. I'm going to, since I'm here, I'll tell a quick story. That whole video was about the Returning Hearts Day, which is a Saturday, starts early in the morning, goes till in the afternoon. The Friday night we're there before is the Malachi Dad's graduation. And it's just a neat service. It's a worship service. We're there observing. We don't play any role in that, but we get to see what God's done in these men's life. And we were all sitting on the bench this year, and it was packed. It was a packed chapel, and there's a number of prisoners all around the outside sitting on benches. And down at the end of our row, I looked down and saw something that was just very near and dear to my heart. A guy sitting there with a Yankee shirt on. And it was an inmate. It said Malachi Dad's, and it had a big Yankees emblem. I thought, I know they sold these shirts. I thought, where can I get one of these Yankees ones? That would be really good. And so I kind of, we made eye contact, and the service is going on, but we're kind of doing this kind of stuff. And Dan Barry, who was sitting, Joan was next to me, and Dan was there. And Dan, he just gets up and he walks down and talks to the guy, and I see him down there, talking about me. And Dan comes back and says, why don't you take your shirt off and maybe he'll switch with you? And I said, yeah, I'm going to do that right here, Dan. But I told him I was willing to, and the guy said, no, we can't do that. Well, a couple minutes go by, 15 minutes go by, and the guy sends word down. It's, like playing telephone. All these messages are coming down, and finally gets to me, and he said, hey, I will take this shirt home tonight and wash it home. He's an inmate. He's going to take it. He said, I'll take it, get it washed, and I'll bring it back to you tomorrow, and I'll give it to you. On the when they're out there for the Returning Hearts, he had a daughter or someone who's going to be there. And I thought, wow. And I thought, well, maybe I can exchange or something, I could give him. And then I realized they can't accept anything from us. And this guy knew that, of course. And he just figured I was a Yankees fan, and he thought he'd give it to me. Well, 15 more minutes go by, and I see something being handed down from person to person. And I looked down, and the guy's got a different shirt on. He went somewhere and changed and gave me his Malachi Dad's Yankee shirt. And I was, it was still the middle of service, so finally, 30 minutes later, I get to go talk to him. And it turns out this was their baseball team. Malachi Dad's formed a team within the prison. They played softball, and they played against other prison teams, but they used it as an evangelism tool. They would share the gospel with guys, and they were the champion team. There was a guy there with a Cubs shirt on as well, somewhere, but we never got to talk to him. But these guys, they had won the championship in 2010, 2011, and 2012. And it's got all their names on the back. And I was able to share with him how when we were in Hungary, baseball was a big part of the ministry we had, working with kids in the schools and men in a sports ministry. And it was just kind of a neat connection and a neat kind of side story. But it was also neat the fact that he knew there was no swap going to happen. He was just going to give me this. And it's a T-shirt. But, you know, it was important. And there's nothing that he could receive in return. So that was just kind of a neat side story that happened. But I'm going to ask Tanya to come up now, and she's going to share. Tanya is now a lifer, she said, which had a whole different connotation down there in the prison. But she's going to share, and I think Jason's going to come up as well. And anybody from these rows over here? Okay. Gypsy's going to come up and share a little bit about their experience this year down at Angola Prison in Louisiana.
Okay. Hello. Many of you know me already. My name is Tanya Nyswanger. About a month ago, I had a life-changing experience when Mike Swanson invited me and my husband to go in Angola prison. I was very reluctant, but Mike was very persistent and reminded me of all the paperwork that was needed. In my mind, I thought the worst. But my heart knew that if Mike thought that it would put any of us in harm's way, he would not take us. Upon reaching Angola and venturing inside the prison yard, I really began to feel at ease. It looked nothing like I had imagined. I saw no guards at the post over our heads holding guns. We went inside the church, and these guys were rocking it out. We spent so much time on our feet, clapping our hands and tapping our feet. I sat next to Pastor, and I couldn't tell if it was his knees popping or mine from all the sitting and standing. I remember one thought that I had, and I imagined all the gifts in prison that I thought were being squandered. Not anymore. I was so touched by the message of the one they call preacher. You could tell these guys have been in their word. One statement he made really made me examine my life and my thought pattern. He said, every day is a good day, and he has 30 years in prison. My eyes swelled along with my heart, and I couldn't fight the tears. I was so convicted. I don't know much about you, but I was convicted to the point where I thought about if I had a bad hair day, or an encounter with a rude person, or bad news, etc. That's all it took for me to have a bad day. Outside of those prison walls, we have so many distractions, from achieving the American dream, enjoying family and friends, etc. But in prison, they are what we call captive audience. They don't have those distractions. We are blessed with so much, and I know that there are times I forget to pray after a night's slumber, and many times to read my word, but yet I can make time for everyone else. In church that day, I met preachers, encouragers, prayer warriors, songwriters, artists, musicians, just to name a few. Okay, now the big day had arrived, and I now know that I get to meet the family I had been praying for. I was introduced to Bess, a very beautiful young lady who's valedictorian of her class, and she has a full scholarship to LSU. Her major is law. She is studying to become a prosecutor. Her dad, Toby, who is Cajun and is biracial, was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole for killing a man who raped his 11-year-old sister. Toby was 16 when he was sentenced to life. He had all these different tattoos, but it was one that really stuck out under his right eye. I asked what was the significance of the tattoo, and he said he spent time in a Texas prison that was notorious for gang violence. And upon entering, you had to make a choice of what gang you were going to be in. He said a young man who had never been arrested before lied about being in a gang. He told me that later on in that day, he saw that young man being thrown off an upper level of the prison with over 20 shanks in him. He said that tattoo on his face was a symbol of the gang he had joined. He also said that Angola didn't deserve the reputation it has now. It is a violent prison. It is no longer a violent prison. He said in a prison setting, he felt safe. I then told him of all the good news and all the good things that I had heard on the streets about Angola. He was glad to hear that. I thought it was strange that as an inmate, he would be concerned about the reputation of a prison he is serving in. To me, the meaner, the better. To me, it makes just better sense if an inmate can survive a tougher prison. That means he gets more accolades on the street. But he wasn't concerned about with all that. He was very excited that a new law has been passed that will reduce his sentence from first-degree murder to manslaughter. And that will reduce him down to less than 2 years, which he's already served 18 years. For my dad, he has regular visits with his daughter. And so the departure wasn't as hard for him as it would have been for many fathers who only see their kids once a year. God also allowed me to see this father share the gospel with his daughter, and she accepted Christ. I'm taking away many lessons. One, God can use anybody at any place. Don't judge a book by the place it is shelved, meaning the inmate in the prison. I saw myself in these inmates. I have choked, stabbed, shot, punched people in the throat, yet I'm not in jail spiritually. To think it is just as much a sin thinking it as it is doing it. I have always been a fan of revenge is a dish better served cold. But to me, it is not a dish that does not need to be served at all. I thank God for this awesome experience, and I am a lifer. Amen.
I wasn't nervous till I started sitting over there in the beginning service started. This is my first time going, and I'm like, Tanya, I'd like to go back every year. So the experience was really great. Malachi Dads, it was their biggest class they've ever had. They had 84 dads graduate from the Malachi Dads program this year. They kept getting up and filling up the whole stage. And they come down afterwards and shake your hand. And there's one that came down and said, I'm not shaking hands, I'm hugging everybody I see, which was really great. The other thing I thought was really cool was the guy giving the t-shirt to Mike. No one, he couldn't receive anything back. He was willing to give up his shirt and make a connection with Mike. And I thought that was probably the coolest thing I saw all weekend. But the two dads I was with, or it wasn't dad, it was an uncle and a grandfather who were in prison. And their nephews came to see them. And the uncle had played on their football team and had won their Super Bowl. He said Super Bowl. Had this big old ring on, and his nephew saw it and said, man, that's pretty cool. He goes, what is that from? And the uncle told him. The grandfather had been in there for a long time. He had just gotten out of the hospital on that Friday before. His nickname was Bones. And the guards would talk to him and say, hey, Bones, glad to see you're out. Glad to see you're doing better. As we went throughout the day, he talked to the different guards. The uncle and the two nephews would just carry on a conversation. And like Mike said, you're just there to be with them, carry their backpacks, carry whatever things they needed to be carried. Somebody said, you're a pack mule. Just to be there and fellowship and just to listen to how they conversate throughout the day. And the one nephew was probably 9 or 10, and he was going everywhere, and we were trying to keep up with him. I was paired with another family attendant because they were from two different families, but they were seeing the uncle and the grandfather. So the other FEMA attendant I was with, he had served in the military and had gotten out and had PTSD and said that he had fought his own demons but gotten back with the Lord. But to see these two inmates interact with their nephews, and the one was about 16, 17, so this was his only year to be able to come visit. But to see them carry on, they weren't interested in doing a lot of the games, but to see them carry on and ask him what's going on in the neighborhood, ask him how he's doing, different things going on, because I got a feeling they'd been in a gang involved and different things that obviously put his uncle in prison. So it was great to see him carry on, and then they had pictures. We were able to take a picture with them, and they said, yeah, come on, you're part of the family. Get in here with the picture. And at the end of the day, at the balloon release, you know, we were leaving, and we take the kids back to the buses. The uncle turned to me and said, anytime you want to come visit, come on back. You're welcome to come on back. You're family now. Don't worry about it. And I walked the older nephew to the bus, and he said, be good. You know, stay strong. And I told him, hey, you know, we'll pray for you and have a good time. Thanks for coming, you know, and everything. So it was a great trip, great coming back. I've told many stories to my family and my parents. So I'm going back. I encourage you, if you haven't been, you need to go on this trip. And you need to read the book. There's a book called Cain's Redemption. I've read about half of it right now. I can't put the book down. It's a great book. I encourage you to go. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gypsy Arnold. This was my first time to go to Angola. When I was a teenager, I went to prison. But our youth group was involved in a prison ministry, and once you get a taste of it, it's there. And I had wanted to go on this trip ever since I first heard about it, and I finally got my ducks in a row and went this year, and it was such a blessing. There's not enough positive adjectives to describe it. And as several have said before, it's just such an emotional time. I just felt myself welling up with emotion, you know, just over and over various things that we attended and the Malachi Dads celebration and graduation. And as I was sitting there and these men got their certificates and they were holding them up and they were so proud and excited, I thought that's probably the first certificate that some of those have ever gotten for anything. And, you know, you don't feel unsafe at all. It's just, everything is so well organized, and it's just so fantastic. But then all of a sudden you think, I'm in a maximum security prison. And that reality kind of hits you for a few seconds, and then you just go on to the next thing. There's so many various things that are available for the volunteers to do. So, you know, if you don't feel like you could be one of the ones that are a family assistant, there's so many other things that are available. If you can't stand for long periods of time, they have jobs for the volunteers that, you know, you could do that way. But I did want to be a family assistant, and you never know what type of person you're going to get. And as they have said already, it's not all Malachi dads that are part of that day. Some of them are the men that are not saved, but they have earned the privilege to participate because of their behavior. And that was the case with the dad I had. It was a father and 16-year-old daughter that I accompanied. And she had seen him a year ago. Not in that setting, because this was his first time to participate in that, but and I didn't ask a lot of questions. You just let them talk. Some of the people found out a lot of information because they were not supposed to ask them, why are you in prison and things like that, unless they volunteer the information, and mine didn't. But because of her age, they were just mainly interested in talking and spending the day catching up. And as Jason said, you're just there to kind of follow them around and do whatever you can be to serve them, carry their backpack or anything like that. And you're just kind of there in the background and to kind of, you know, stimulate conversation if there's a lull. But there didn't seem to be that with these two. And I don't think there was a they were at odds with each other, but I could see them warming up as the day went on and him putting his arm around her at different times. And because I was kind of standing behind them, I couldn't always hear everything that was being said. I would catch bits and pieces, but I know at one point he was apologizing for the wrongs he had done. He said, "I've tried to make amends for my wrongs," and he hugged her in a very strong embrace. And at the end, when they said goodbye, of course, there were tears, and the man I had was a Muslim, and I did not, you know, obviously not, like I said, not everybody is a Christian, but I did have a chance to share the gospel with him briefly, but I could see that there was not really any interest, you know, in continuing with that. But I tried to pray for he and for the daughter, and it touched my heart that as a teenager, she came. She came from Rome, Georgia, went to New Orleans, and then rode a bus over. So she had come kind of the long way around to get there. And, you know, sometimes teenagers, that might not be their thing, you know, to go and do. But it blessed my heart that she was willing to do that. And I prayed with them, like I said, before we you know, went our separate ways. But just another thing that was such a blessing, the weather was absolutely fantastic. Because in that area of the country, it can get really hot and humid. But it was almost chilly when we got there on Thursday night. And the rest of the weekend was, you know, it was hot, but it was tolerable, especially in the shade, and but not the humidity that they've had so many times. So thank you, Mike, for your great organization. It was just, everything was just like clockwork, and even at the, you know, the way the Awana Lifeline people had everything just so organized, and just, you're just going from one thing to another, and it's just such a full weekend. So really pray about going next year if you feel led to do that. And I'm thankful that it's an annual thing. So if there's a year you can't go, Lord willing, you can look forward to going another year. And I do pray and hope that I can go many more times.
I wasn't going to say anything, but some encouragement. In Louisiana, it is a big thing, just in the state. A friend of mine lives there. Many of you got to see her that were when we were there, and they do put it in the paper, you know, about the Malachi dads returning hearts. And as they were showing last year's, as the children runs across the yards to meet their parents, I sat there and cried just to see that because it's very moving. Now, I'm not a family assistant. I do the Awana store. That's my fun part. So I do that every year, and this is no exception. Last year we handed out Bibles. That was very rewarding just to watch those that needed a Bible and how the inmates encouraged their child to read the Bible. And some would sit there and even autograph it for the child. Well, this year, again, no exceptions. We had a bunch of stuffed animals, and I always work with the stuffed animals because they're cheaper. So the children earn shares by going and playing games. Well, this one inmate, I believe he approached me last year as well, wanting just a few stuffed animals for his grandkids because he had children there, but they were always spending their shares for what they wanted. So this year he came up and asked again if he could have four stuffed animals. And I said, "Well, you know, do you have any shares?" He goes, "Well, they've already spent all the shares." And I said, okay, I'll let you have four. He goes, "Well, I don't know which ones I want." So they had these little colored bears. They were the Awana colors. But each color stood for something, which at the time, I really didn't know that, but it did. So I just grabbed four of them, identical, and handed them to him. Well, after the ceremony, releasing of the balloons, and the inmates were headed back to their dorms, I was on the opposite side of everyone else. And so we stood there and shook their hands as they left. Well, he came by, and I shook his hand, and I said, "I hope you enjoy those bears." He goes, did a double take, and he goes, "I want to tell you something." He goes, "God led your hand in that." He goes, "I read what each color meant And he goes, I put my grandkids' initials on each bear, and they will get one. He goes, but I would have never been able to chosen the correct animal to give them. He goes, and I want to say thank you very much. And he hugged me. They love the hug. And I guess it's the intimacy they need. But I thought, you know, sometimes I feel like, well, I'm just doing the store. But I enjoy that. That's, to me, a connection that you don't have any other way. So, but he did make that statement. He said, God led your hand. He goes, I have to thank you for that. And I want to thank the church again, too, for the encouragement that we get by going. And it is an emotional time, but such a rewarding time. And any of us that have gone and those that are thinking about going, always ask, just say, well, what do we need to do? Like Tanya said, there is a fear at first because you're going into a penitentiary. Now, I had family that was in penitentiary or in jail for one reason or another. And I think I visited my brother once. And Suhan and I, we go to Memphis and visit those that remember Tammy. Her niece is in there for life. So we go there and we get to visit her. But this is, you're on a campus and you get to really make a connection, a more of a heartfelt connection of what these men are going through. And praise the Lord, they're finally going to reach the women's prisons. So let's pray about that. Thank you.
Okay. I'll tell you, that's just a taste of what we experienced. And Murray and I have gone now. She missed last year, but this is our third year. And so we've really found it to be a very encouraging and just a terrific experience along the way. There were a couple things that I observed along the way. First of all, the caregivers bring these kids in and they hand them off to us at the fence. And then, you know, what happens is the family assistants come there and we're paired up with people and everything. And so, and Angola is, I think it's appropriate to say it's the middle of nowhere. And so there's really not a place for these caregivers to go. And so they may come in at 7, 8 in the morning, and they really need to kill time till about probably 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And so Awana said, you know, we have just the program for you. So they have a special program just for the caregivers. And when you go to the caregiver program and everything, they preach the gospel and they talk to people. And I think I heard, I don't know how many were saved this year, but there was a flock of them that that actually came to know the Lord. Caregivers that would come in that didn't have any clue about what was going on spiritually and all. The other thing is that this year we heard Warden Kane longer than we have heard him. Normally he just comes in and says a little bit here and there. He's got a real interesting story, and the thing that's interesting about that story is that he never wanted to go to Angola because he knew the reputation of Angola, and he just said that's the place where prison people go to die because what's going to happen is they're going to have an insurrection of one kind or another, and the way they're going to deal with that, you're going to fire the manager, you know, that kind of thing. So he expected that he would never last in that prison, and because no one lasted at Angola and everything. And it's kind of a crazy place anyway because the Mississippi River cuts a peninsula of land, and Angola is right in the middle of that peninsula. And so, you know, it's a pretty dangerous place to be out walking and moving around and so forth. Anyway, he had a person that he had to go to their execution. And so he went to that execution and he saw what was going on with that person and that individual. And when he saw what was happening with that person and everything, I think his mama got a hold of him afterwards and said, well, what did you say to him? And he says, well, I really didn't say anything to him. He says, and apparently his mama said, now that's not the way you were raised. You were raised to talk about the Lord to these people. You need to do that. And you know, he remembered what his mama said. And so from that point on, they have a whole hospice program and everything. Everybody that dies in that prison, they're probably dying holding the hand of Warden Kane, who's talking to them about the Lord. And of course, there's been many other people that have had that ministry along the way. He is a fantastic man, and I keep saying I'm going to drag him here kicking and screaming, and I'm going to write the letter this year. I've been trying to do it for 3 years now, and so hopefully this year. Hold me accountable now, make sure I write the letter, and we'll see if we can't get him to come down here and spend a Sunday with us and everything. I think that would just inspire us and encourage us. He made another comment that's always kind of interesting. He said, you can't use the Bible in a public school. He said, but in prison, they don't care what you use. He said, now you see what the Bible does to prison. He says, can you imagine if we got the Bible back in the public schools, what we could do to public schools? And so, you've got a lot of things going on. So that's a pretty solid testimony. Let me also say that that they're going other places. They're expanding. In fact, we go to Walker County about a month and a half before this, and we've had a number of folks that go to the Returning Heart Celebration in Walker County and Catoosa County, the prison there. And there are other places, and also there's an ongoing program that's going to really be starting up in up towards Knoxville somewhere. So we see those opportunities that are there. You look at it and you say to yourself, well, why in the world do we get stirred with this? And it goes back to some of that stuff that we read in David Platt on Radical. And in Matthew 25, you remember what the scripture said. It talks about then shall the king say to those on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. Read an immigrant. I was displaced, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when in all that we do this? And the king will answer, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And that's a kind of ministry that in the days to come, I think God wants our perspective in terms of these kinds of things, that we're helping and we're encouraging people. Well, it was a great time. And those of you that missed it, shame on you. Next year, you need to go with us. We had lots of room on the bus. We had lots of seats. And, Tracy was there. We didn't have the bells this time. It was really disappointing. But I'm sure we'll work that out at some point in time. Anyway, lots cooking over the next little while. I want to take just a minute and do two things before we leave tonight, if you all allow me. First of all, Elise, I want you to come talk to me. You're going to Timbuktu, and I think it would be good for you to tell us a little bit about what you're going to do and how we pray for you and all. Elise has worked with our college interns, and then this past year, she's worked with crew down at UTC and everything. And so just, a little bit.
Orlando, Florida, to Crew's headquarters there, and I'll be spending a little over a month, 34 days there. The first about week and a half, 2 weeks, we'll be taking several Bible courses. So Crew's, when you're joining their staff team, they require their staff to basically have kind of your equivalent of a two-year Bible course curriculum, just so that way we have kind of that base among our staff. And so I'll be doing that. And then after that, we will have several weeks with training and different conferences from the leadership and crew and just teaching us somewhat about support raising and then just the life of a staffer and what's expected and some training in that way. And so then I will be back July 12th. And then we'll be doing some support raising and that will last until I get up to 100%, and then I will head off to whatever campus they place me at. And so I'll find that out within the next 2 to 3 weeks where they're placing me. Typically how that works is with this last year, I had an internship year, and so they try to honor that request for you, just knowing you're passionate about that campus specifically. But then as someone moves into a staff position, generally you're making about a 3-year commitment is what they ask, just so they have just some solidification with their staff people. So, but there is the potential that they will ask me to go to another area campus. I've heard of a couple campuses in the region that just have one couple on their campus, and so needing some assistance in that way. So I want to be praying to be open and willing to what God might have that way. So,
okay, that is good. Well, Maylou, why don't you come pray for this gal? And you've had a lot of contact with her, and so you know how to pray for her.
Dear Lord, thank you for this precious girl, Elise. And all of us have observed her growing in you over the last few years and her willingness to serve you. Just bless her abundantly. Help her mind to be open and help her, Lord, to learn through this training, and then just place her in the place she ought to be. Supply all of her needs, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.